over here, and it's just, you know, we live in this kind of, I don't want to say sad situation, where, you know, so many people are clocking in and doing the 9 to 5, and then when they come home, they have time to fill because they just want to relax. And it's so easy to relax and just shut your brain off and watch Kim Kardashian. Like,
man, I hate reality TV. Do you know why I hate it? Because, you know, it's killing celebrities. It's killing real talented performers. Same as the music industry. You know, people seem to be more interested in seeing, like, a burger flipper. No disrespect to anybody. Yeah. But they're more interested in seeing someone from the store singing karaoke than they are someone who's genuinely talented.
I mean,
right.
Yeah. And that's the same as, you know, I'm a guitar player. Like, almost, you can be too good at the guitar these days. You know, if you like Yngwie Malmsteen or Steve Vai, it's almost as if you'd be overlooked because you're too fucking talented. Mm. You know, like... Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. It upsets me terribly.
Is it people are becoming so obsessed with that sort of, you know, you were talking about instant gratification before, but that's kind of the society, isn't it? Where you just want to move on to the next thing all the time and you can never just stop. And
yeah, things need to be immediately accessible. And like, how dare you not be average? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You need to be average. And I've never really been very good at that in any respect.
It's kind of a voyeuristic thing, and it's a really big self-satisfaction for a lot of people when they see sort of quote-unquote normal people achieving things that would garner them attention. So
yeah, but then 9 times out of 10 they don't achieve anything. That they're used for a TV show, and then after the TV show's finished they get 3 singles, 2 singles, and it totally disappears.
Right. I mean my point is, if you consider getting 100,000 views on YouTube achieving something, then it's like a false sense of entitlement, you know.
Like, there's nothing I don't think since what do you call that bloody song? Gangnam Style. Since that got a billion views, I think, YouTube views are overrated these days.
I don't know why this has happened, because I'm on the computer a lot, but I've literally never seen or heard Gangnam Style. I don't know what it is.
You are a lucky man.
I heard it today. I hadn't heard it before, but then I saw, like, there was some election ad they showed on TV, and it was actually going Mitt Romney style.
that was the first time
I heard it.
I was at a wedding over the weekend, and they played it at the wedding.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
Did they really?
I'm being completely honest. I mean, it was actually a pretty good evening with a pretty good DJ, but then he played that, and it's just the upbeatness of it all. You know, the club type music that, I think that's largely why it's successful, too, because most of the songs in Korean, you don't really know what's going on except for the background.
Sexy lady.
So it's like the Macarena, basically.
Well, the Macarena is more, yeah, I guess so.
I mean, it's like the Macarena.
Better?
Yeah, and Macarena was the shit because it was from our time
era,
guys.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, we're totally biased. But I mean, think about these kids that are growing up right now. The Gangnam Style is going to be their Macarena. They're going to be like, what are you talking about,
that's
Macarena?
True.
Oh, it's terrible. And you know, actually, being a DJ, I was asked to play it a few weeks ago, and I said no, of course. And I said, why? Why?
Right,
and I said, well, there's so many reasons why I wouldn't play it. A, because it's shit. B, because I don't understand the words. And then, like, are you racist? And I'm like, no! It's a shit song.
We are going to, I'm going to go ahead and use that as a great pivot, because I wanted to talk to you about your DJing.
Okay.
Yeah, man. So you DJ, where do you DJ? How often do you DJ?
I've been a DJ for 14 years.
A little bit.
Yeah, I've been a DJ. There hasn't basically been one weekend I haven't DJed in 14 years. So I have to say, I started out on vinyl, you know, a purist. I used to carry fucking crates of records about and put my back out every week. Then I moved on to CDs, on the CDJs, and only in the last year I've moved on to like MP3s.
Tractor or Serato?
Tractor.
Yeah?
Yeah, and I got myself a sort of Pioneer Dex for it, because I think there's nothing worse than watching a DJ fiddle around on his laptop, and that guy's checking his emails. Like, how exciting is that? I still want to see, I still want to feel like I'm using Dex, you know what I mean? So this is...
Yeah, that's important.
It's a really nice interface, actually. So, yeah, I still love to DJ. A bit upset with how music's going at the moment, but things come in swings and roundabouts, so I'm sure it will swing around again. I'm not into R&B. I don't like R&B. I don't really like dubstep or drum and bass. I like some, maybe some dubstep, but I don't play it. Dubstep is not big in Northern Ireland.
Sounds like a great place.
Yeah, so I play house. Basically, I play different styles of house music.
I mean, you consider right now Hodor like your job, right? It's sort of like your day job, or is it DJing, or is it both?
It's both. both. I just do what I need to do, really. I always seem to be doing something, though. I don't really have that much free time, to be honest. Yeah, you're right. Actually, I'm not really pushing the DJing at the moment. It's just really until I earn enough money to stop it.
Well, right. It's cool, though, because it's such an interesting trait when I see people that are just, in general, kicking ass, that their free time relaxing thing is something like a career for some people. I mean, like, you're entertaining people and you're doing something that you love, but at the same time, it's also your sort of way to chill.
Yeah, well, trust me, when I'm leaving the house at 11 p.m. every night, I am not a happy camper. You know, like, I'm sort of swearing at the kick of the dog. It's like, fuck's sake, I don't want to go to work. that sort of thing. But when I get there, I love music. I love making people dance, right, especially when they've had
I did
alcohol.
I did want to ask you, Christian, on your IMDb, it says that you've performed with or alongside the Scissor Sisters.
Yeah, yeah.
How are they to perform with?
Well, it was possibly, along with Comic Con, it was two or three of the best nights of my life. It was on the UK or Scottish and Irish leg of the tour here. It was just, I was in this band called Daddy's Little Princess.
Yes.
The lead singer was a drag queen, that sort of thing. It was really, it was pretty intense, actually. It was really punky, sort of electro grungy rock. It was really cool, actually.
Yeah, I've seen them. I saw them perform maybe like 2 years ago, and I didn't quite know what I was getting into, and coming out of it, I didn't quite know what I had just seen.
No, they're interesting. They don't really have a genre. But yeah, that was incredible. So we sort of did the big arena. That was like at the pinnacle of the Scissor Sisters' career. So they were doing the sort of arenas and football stadiums.
Do you travel often, like outside of Ireland at all? Like maybe when you're not filming or for leisure, have you ever traveled?
I do travel, but these days it's always for work. But the last couple of times I've traveled, it's always been to the States, obviously because that's where the biggest fan base for Game of Thrones is. Although it has a huge fan base in Latin America and South America and Spain and stuff like that. It's massive down there.
Yeah, there's not nearly enough coverage of it over here in Denmark. Like, they're showing it, but it's sort of on this obscure channel, and it's very upsetting to me because
believe it or not,
so
it's
good.
The same here. We have it on Sky Atlantic. Which requires you to have there's like people who don't have
Sky package.
Yeah, but some people have cable, and for some reason Sky Atlantic don't supply the cable customers, and it's like, what the fuck, man? Put the show on.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I was trying to, when I lived in Wales, I was trying to watch it, and I had to go through this entire thing with contacting Sky and getting them to. Oh, it was just a nightmare.
Yeah, it can be quite difficult. But it's on Sky One now, which is it's on cable, so that's not so bad. But it's not the it'll be repeats and reruns.
You were talking about the sort of critical success it has over here in the States, and I can remember back because obviously Twitter's been around, and I mean, when I think of the show, I guess I still consider it relatively new because when it came out, I remember thinking about how new of a concept this was and how great HBO is at executing these. I don't want to say ambitious shows, but they're ambitious and they do such a great job at capturing these era pieced series. And when, you know, previously I had no knowledge of Thrones or the books even. And I stay pretty up on like fantasy shifts and like what's a trend or whatever. And I hadn't heard much about this, even though a fandom for it obviously did exist.
I hadn't either.
Right. So when the show introduced me to the entire concept, and you know, I immediately saw all of my friends, and actually didn't know Selena yet, but like Eric and I, for example, were friends before, and you know, we would just see a shift throughout most people that were into things like this, not necessarily fans of medieval culture or like watching Robin Hood or things like that, but just people that are into well-developed storylines that are sort of like Battlestar Galactica sort of people, like, oh, you love, you know, politics and humor and romance and all of these things set in a fantasy universe. That's great. But when HBO put out that teaser from the first episode, we were just like, oh shit, this is going to be badass. Also, Sean Bean's in it.
Something different.
Oh, yeah, with the White Walker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Right, and then everyone started watching it, and I think I made a comment about it on a recent episode where I said that the show didn't become like something that I was just so into until probably after Mord and Tyrion had their no gold bit up in the area. But I thought it was amazing, obviously, because it's a great show. But what it's done is sort of transcended this place where it's a show people really like to where it's something that people are legitimately into. Like, the word fandom is kind of thrown around loosely, but I really truly do believe that.
I think so too. People are proper obsessed with it, like, and you know, they're relating things to their everyday life and stuff, and like the whole thing about the Westeros elections. People are like putting some serious thought into that.
Mm. Yeah,
you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I think it's awesome.
It goes back to Comic-Con, man, because I remember, you know, I had planned on going this year, and I book filming stuff and it overlaps, and I feel like an idiot. But when I saw the reports and shit from Comic-Con and seeing how well people were taking it, because I mean, essentially you did go as a fan, like that's the person that you are, right? Like, you're a fan of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, for us personally and for everyone around in the circle and then like fans of the show, everyone was just like really stoked that, I don't want to say this was happening for you, but that you were able to represent the show and the character, even sort of in a loose setting, and just seeing not a room full of people that were strategizing to go see this, but just see a large reception from the general public, from people who like cool shit, that was really into your character and really into the show. I mean, it's a phenomenon, really. It's a phenomenon.
It's true. It's wonderful. I don't really know what to say, but it is humbling. So seeing from behind the scenes the amount of work they put into this, it's deserved. It really is. The craft people who work on this, the story writers, the script writers, they're as obsessed with it as the fans are. You know, I mean, it's become a life.
I actually had a related question to that. I mean, obviously now you're shooting the third season of the show. At this point, you guys on the set, you must know now that this is a big deal. Like, this isn't just, you know, you're working in your first season, you're still wondering if it's even going to be picked up. You know, has that attitude sort of sunk in yet, that it's actually, Game of Thrones has made such a big impact and is still making such a big impact?
It's hard not to realize how big it is, but I think it's good that people haven't got complacent. Mm-hmm. You know, they really haven't. In fact, I think season 3, I've seen people work hardest so far. I genuinely think season 3 is going to be the best season so far.
That's awesome.
That's what I was told by Micah and Selena. They were like, listen, if you the show,
yes, it's anything like the book,
yeah, but you don't know how quickly it's going to happen. If you know what I mean, you don't really know how far we're going to get along the arc. It just depends how to split it up.
Exactly, like that's the big thing about season 3 is that nobody of the fans, like you guys probably know, but we don't know where the book's going to split, or if they're even going to keep it to like the first half of the book is going to be the first half of the season. We have no idea. I find that really exciting personally. Like, that's going to catch me off guard when they're going to do certain things.
Yeah. Yeah. See, I don't understand people who get upset about that, because, you know, you've read the book, you've enjoyed it. Fair enough. Right. Surely if it's slightly different or the timeline changes, it can only be a surprise. You know what I mean? Yeah. as long as it sticks to the storyline, all the major points, and, you know what I mean? I don't see the problem.
Mm-hmm. As long as they didn't like suddenly kill off someone that were supposed to be alive until book 5, or if they like,
yeah, well, as long as they're not important. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Hell if they're not a point of view character, just throw them out. Hell.
Yeah, well, that includes me, so let's not go there.
Oh yeah,
like, I feel like you've unofficially become such a point of view character, at least in the fandom world is concerned.
Mm-hmm. There's sort of a bit of like Hodor's like the audience, isn't it? Just observing it all.
Yeah, sort of. That's a good way to put it. Actually, I've just realised that there's stuff you don't know yet about Hodor's rule, which I'm not going to say anything about.
I know it.
Yeah, I know you know, but yeah, it's a pity we can't talk about. But there's definitely a new dimension comes into it in this season.
Well, good. I mean, I feel like we have a lot of listeners that are on the same pace as Eric and I as far as discovery on the show. So
yeah,
it's gonna be interesting to see how it all plays out on screen. Absolutely.
Well, I can't wait to. Well, actually, do you know what? I haven't even seen the second half of season 2, but I don't like watching myself, man.
Is it almost like it's too close?
No, it's I don't know. Well, do you know, I can watching myself I can see the thought process that's right. happening there. I can remember the thought process. Like, I can say, God, my leg's cramping, that sort of thing. and I'd be like, God, I can totally see that in my face. My leg's cramped. And, you know what I mean? And I'm very critical of myself, so I just tend to... I have faith in my directors. And I know for a fact that if it was shit, HBO wouldn't let it go out.
I bet that's really nice working, I mean, on such a level where, I mean, for example, just saying that it's an HBO series, knowing that if your legs are cramping and you feel like you're making a dumb face, it's not going to make it in the show.
Oh, yeah, totally, man. If anything, yeah, they will notice anything down to the last detail. It's been a great way to work with some really amazing directors and some really amazing people. My first scene as a professional actor had, like, it had Richard Madden, it had Peter Dinklage, it had
wow,
you know, it's directed by Brian Kirk. That was my first scene as an actor.
Wow.
And yeah, it's a good way to start. You can't really go too much higher than that. Yeah, no. It's all downhill from here.
From there, you're just like, well, what happens now?
Haven't said awesome, that. I just did a BBC show there called Ripper Street. It's set in the time of Jack the Ripper. Also very good, and that was another great experience. Some really nice cast and directors there too. It's out just after Christmas.
Wow.
So, I mean, obviously this is opening up a lot of different opportunities for you then.
I had trouble with representation at the start, but now I've got a really good agent looking after me. So yeah, I'm constantly auditioning, constantly reading for parts. So
that's very cool.
And the thing is, you know, I have a very specific look. So and people who know my work, they either want me or they don't want me. So basically, usually if I go for a role and it's any kind of way, right, I'll usually get it. Because if they want someone who looks like me, basically there's me. Obviously, that works as a double-edged sword. You know what I mean? It's not as if I'm going to turn up in, I don't know, Glee. Hey,
you know,
that would be never so say awesome, never. Though. Never say never,
sir. Not without a fork in my head.
That would
there's
be
no
perfect.
Chance I would be in Glee.
that would be,
yeah, okay.
That'd be pretty badass.
What about
make
the,
it way more awesome.
Christian, what about the new Star Wars? If they asked you to be in it, would you be in it?
Oh my God, I would break their arm. Yeah.
But like as in, I will break your arm, please.
I would love to be. I would love to be a Sith.
So you're a Darth. You're an evil Jedi Knight.
Wow.
Right, you're an evil Jedi. You're you know, you're helping protect the galaxy against democracy.
Yeah, but it's a Sith, not an evil Jedi.
Sure you are. And then you walk into a portal that takes you to Northrend, and it's really cold. And then you ride a Zeppelin. And you're back in Azeroth, and you're just hanging out. If you're there, Christian, and enjoy my segue. That was a beautiful one.
Yeah, well, I realized what you were doing as you were doing it. I was impressed. I was just watching it unfolding like a beautiful flower in front of me.
Just the perfect sunrise just made it bloom, and the pollen was just crisply just floating away in the breeze, and this little bumblebee flew.
So you segued to Warcraft, and then you've segued into botany.
You guys fucked up my segue.
we fucked it up.
It was a group effort.
Well, we were talking. We were both appreciating the segue because
we
enjoy segues to ride on. Sometimes walking is too much to deal with. You see, that was a segue. Anyway,
that was very good.
What is you said you have 17 characters on WoW? We were talking before we started recording.
Yeah,
17.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously the level cap has been raised now, but I did have 17 max level 85s.
So Pandaria did take it to 90 then.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
What's your favorite alignment class?
It's a mage. I've been a mage since day one, or a shaman. Or a paladin.
Really?
He's going to run through them because I can take notes here.
Are you rolling Alliance or Horde?
Well, see, I can sit on the fence here because I play on both EU and US servers, European or American servers. And in America, I'm Alliance. And in Europe, I'm Horde.
I feel like there's this aspect of which you choose that kind of represents what kind of fan you are of things like Game of Thrones. Like if you're more of a Dothraki supporter, or if you're more of someone who thinks that the Baratheons and the Lannisters are cool, like I found myself playing, and this was years ago, I'd be playing Horde, I'd be hanging out in Orgrimmar, and I'm like, oh, this town looks kind of weird. I bet the guys in the Alliance, they get to enjoy like this cool subway and like paved roads and like houses with ceilings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this is weird. It's this weird mixture of these two different worlds that these people are playing in. And I feel like it really speaks volumes to the people that are playing these characters, to what kind of things that they actually like in these sort of like weird broad stories. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I haven't actually thought about that before, but it's a valid point. Yeah, I'm definitely more of a Horde fan though. I'm really into the stories behind the characters and stuff in Warcraft, and even went to Blizzard a few months back and actually corrected one of the employees on his lore. so that's how sad I am. But yeah, I love the stories behind it all. And yeah, I'm definitely more of a Horde person.
So you're saying if they ever decided to adapt the film, you would gladly play?
Oh, God, yes. Sorry.
No shit. No, no, that's awesome.
Dude, I have my agent and manager on pain of death the minute that film gets started. If it ever gets made, if I don't get a part in that, I will fucking get a machine gun and kill all around me. I swear to God.
Break their arms.
It's like the Zelda movie. I know Selena.
Oh my God.
Selena and I desperately want to be Kokiri children.
Oh my God.
I've never played Zelda.
I want to be the red haired girl. You've never played Zelda?
No.
Well, I've never played World of Warcraft, so I guess it's kind of even. I feel like I'm missing out right now, but Zelda is beautiful. You have to play it.
Selena, you would literally, you would love WoW. Like, I know you.
I'm sure. You know what? If I played it, though, you just know that I would just disappear into my computer screen and never come out again. Like, it's these kind of things I have to keep myself from.
I hate that when people say that about WoW.
But it's so true.
Yeah, a lot of people do say that. But I don't think it's like that anymore. I think it's easier to dip in and dip out now.
But you don't know me.
That's true.
You don't. I mean, seriously, it sounds like really, really good. And, you know, I've got a friend who gets really into it and makes up all these characters and stuff. And I can just see myself sort of, and I'm not, no, I can't.
Well, I have my own little circuit breakers. I know when I start to dream about it that I'm playing it too much.
Oh, wow.
Okay,
that's pretty badass. I was definitely dreaming about Skyrim last night, too, which is not good.
I could never get into that.
Wait, when I say last night, I mean not actually last night. Wow. My timetable's all skewed up because after I got Halo last night, I haven't slept, so there's that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's true. All night.
Well, to be fair, here it's like 5:30 in the morning, so I think it's
they're probably about the same, honestly.
Adding up for that too.
Yeah, it's like 4:30 here. Wow.
Yeah.
We all still kind of pulled it through. I mean, managed.
Meanwhile, America has re-elected President Obama. Yes. If anyone's keeping
score. True story.
Really?
No spoiler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we put celebratory music on right now?
I feel like we should.
Okay, so
paint it blue.
I'm really pleased.
It's really me too.
I was worried. Yeah. I really was worried.
I wasn't worried.
I was worried too. I was worried.
Okay, guys, give this show a 5-star rating, or I will beat you around the face and neck with my prosthetic Hodor penis.
That was fantastic.
Wow! It was so much better than I ever hoped it could be.
That's what she definitely said.
Oh my
God. This is Game of Thrones, everybody. It's a podcast. You listen to it
later.
It's scary to me.
Well, common sense has prevailed. Thank God.
It has.
Yes.
I'm going to go probably
have
party,
a soft red.
Yeah. I'm going to go party. I'm going to go have the softest.
The softest red?
Softest.